Hey. Yeah, it's Friday. Oh, you know what that means. It's Busted Pencils Fully. Let it education talk. Educated educators talking education. Dr. Johnny Luke Bonacci. Jacob, chairman of the board's producer, and I'm Dr. Tim Slecker, and it is Friday. You know what that means. Friday, special day. No, it doesn't mean at the end of the day you get the weekend. Well, maybe it does mean that, but it's special for us because we get to carry or cover, I should say, cover those, what some people call extracurriculars. We call them essential curriculars. And here we are on Friday. We're into spring, as Johnny would say. I think we've left sprinter, although who knows up in Wisconsin, it could.
That's right. You never know.
Forever. But it is home hurdles and home runs, not home runs and hurdles. Hey, whichever way you want to put it back. And we have our good friend, Civic Media's own Jimmy Koska. Jimmy, what's happening, our friend?
You know, you mentioned the winter stuff. Just last night, two nights ago, there was snow on the field at my niece's softball game north of Highway 8. So I don't know that we fully escaped the grasp of winter yet in certain parts of Wisconsin, but I am certainly looking forward to the warmer temperatures and warmer days ahead.
Well, Johnny, there you go. So it's still winter in Wisconsin.
Yeah, but you know what it is, Tim? And we haven't said this in a while. TGBP Friday.
Oh, yeah.
Thank God, Busted Pencils Friday. But yeah, we're here. Hurdles and Home Runs, one of our favorite guests, comes on here, you know, semi-regularly, I'd say regularly. Civic Media's Jimmy K, chopping it up. We're talking spring stuff, though. And especially, kind of wanted to do an update because it's been talked about as winter sports came to a close, especially as like Jacob and I talked last week about NCAA, you know, Frozen Four. We're both hockey fans. And I know, Jimmy K, you call the hockey games and you follow hockey out there as well. But we had that really awesome story of Western Michigan, you know, winning the national championship for the NCAA Men's Division One. And we said, you know, uniquely, it's maybe one of the last stories of an era of college sports where nobody on that team is getting NIL money. Now that won't be true moving forward, as you know, their coach has announced. It's not like by any sort of like protest to NIL or anything, but last team probably we'll see for a while of college athletes, you know, going as far as they did and it being as successful as they have been without any NIL funding. So, you know, that brought up a little NIL discussion. And Jimmy, too, we wanted to check back in with you because we know, and especially those of us, you know, closely connected with public education and high school sports around the country, but especially in Wisconsin, that it's been sort of, you know, it's been tickling the desks of every athletic director and superintendent out there. It's like, what is going to happen with NIL in high school sports? So just a little update, because I know that's something that's on the docket for this summer. So as we were talking about it, we say, hey, we got to ask Jimmy K about NIL and high school sports as part of things too. You got a little update. I don't think much has probably changed, but maybe for our listeners, put into context, hey, is that for high school too?
So here's the update, at least in the state of Wisconsin. A week from today, the WIAA membership will actually vote on amending the state constitution for sports, not the overall state constitution. They'll vote on changing the WIAA constitution to allow for name, image, and likeness opportunities. Wisconsin's one of the last handful of states to approve this. I think we're at 42 or maybe even 43 states at this point that have some form of NIL, whether it's been through a state association vote like this. And in a couple of states, it's actually been decided by the state legislature. And that's never a good thing. You don't want your state legislature dictating policy for, you know, for state athletic associations, although they certainly try in Wisconsin to do that repeatedly. Even this year, we've had, you know, four or five bills go through. That's beside the point. But the NIL amendment is the fifth constitutional amendment that is up for a vote with the annual meeting coming up a week from today. That's on Friday, April 25th. It's in Stevens Point. So every school district in the state gets a vote on this. It's typically attended by district administrator types, whether it's an athletic director or a superintendent. That's the usual people that are in the vote. Each school that is a WIAA member gets one vote. And in Wisconsin, just about every school is. And what they'll be deciding on, among the other issues, is whether or not they're going to allow for NIL opportunities. What's different in Wisconsin is that the opportunities would be restricted somewhat, in that the athlete would be ineligible. The student athlete would be ineligible if they were to use, you know, their school or their conference or the WIAA in some kind of NIL deal. But there's also a factor that I think the most controversial part of it for people who support it, certainly, is that if you're a business or, you know, someone sponsoring NIL and you've contributed directly to the school and their athletic fund in the form of any kind of donation or to that school's booster club that is associated with the school, then that would create an ineligibility situation. And that's a measure meant to keep from, you know, pumping a bunch of money into a program and, you know, also, you know, giving it to the student athletes too. So they're trying to eliminate some fuzzy gray areas with that. It's a measure that I think will probably limit, especially in smaller or rural and especially public schools, how much a student athlete can actually get out of all of this. But it does open the door to join collectives and things like that. Wisconsin's rule also wouldn't allow for signing with an agent. So you can't say, oh, yeah, I'm going to talk to my agent and get a deal like that. You can't do that in Wisconsin. And obviously, the other clear restrictions are on school employees, even coaches, from being part of the NIL agreement. So Wisconsin is putting up a lot of restrictions on what it'll look like here. It will not at all look like what happens in college, where it's a little more free flowing. But in high school, NIL opportunities would exist then in the Constitution and wouldn't be grounds for immediate ineligibility. It's a hard word,
man. So in other words, yeah, I remember the first time you introduced this to me, I was kind of like, what? High school kids can potentially, you know, sell their name, image, and likeness? I'd never heard of that. And so here we are. It sounds very restricted, though. What you're saying is what's going to happen in Wisconsin, but that it can happen. Jimmy, you know, as we say, a Tim Baum question on a left field or right field, or maybe jumping over the track hurdle since we're in hurdles and home runs. Are you aware of, or do you know of any students that, or schools that might be in a position where this is going to be a reality, that they're going to take advantage of this rule if it's approved?
So the number of students that were ruled ineligible in last year when they presented this, because this got voted down at last year's annual meeting, and mostly because schools said they didn't have enough time to review the material. It became broadly aware to schools and administrators about 2 months before the vote. Well, now we've had 14 months. So now everybody knows this is coming. And it didn't fail by that many votes last year. It was, you know, roughly 60-40, which in terms of an annual meeting is pretty close. And I think a lot of people just needed more information. They did say that of all their ineligibility cases, that it was a handful, a little more than a dozen, that if we had this rule, that those cases would have never come before the WIAA. So you're talking about a very small selective number of student athletes that would benefit from this. This isn't going to be a thing where, like here in my town, my high school football program, with, you know, we're approaching 40 on our roster, where all of a sudden we're all going to have, you know, these, you know, $100,000 endorsements from the local car dealership or anything. We're talking about a lot of smaller deals that are going to be mostly for those kids that are ticketed for Division I, you know, the student athletes that are, you know, clearly above and beyond, you know, and I have a lot of attention paid to them because they're, you know, potential college athletes, right? Mm. So those are going to be the students that get it. I don't see this being like where 90% of high school kids get it. I think this is really a 1% deal, to be honest with you. But I think the key thing in this is that this year, this has had unanimous support at every committee level, moving up, you know, through the coaches, advisory councils, and everything like that. So the board of control as well, which has been split on a lot of interesting issues. For example, adding a shot clock in basketball, they actually voted down that measure this year. So, you know, there's a lot of things they get divided or even vote against. But the fact that it had 9-0 support, the Board of Control, and then the advisory committee and advisory councils both were unanimous in sending this along, I think tells you where this is heading. It is not probably the most impactful thing, believe it or not, on the annual meeting agenda for student athletes. There's one other thing that we can talk about if you want. This one, though, I think, when people hear NIL, they think, oh, it's college athletes flashing bags of cash, right? That is not how it's going to be in Wisconsin. This will truly be for a handful, maybe less than a percent of student athletes in the state.
Well, I got to put one out there, a nomination. And Johnny, I'm sure you're going to back me, but we want to see Coach Cuska on Wheaties boxes, man.
Oh, no.
Love it.
Yeah, that's right there. My
I've had two sandwiches named after me at different places, but I've never been on a cereal box.
Well, you know, come on, man.
Never say never.
Yeah, you know, or maybe, you know, start something new and maybe get on like Raisin Bran or something like that. You know, Coach Cuska. No, I'm just, or Fruit Loops, right?
That one would be much more appropriate.
Love that. But yeah, I think for the listener too, in Wisconsin, this, you know, is something that maybe more people are aware of. I got to think that there are also people like me out there going, I didn't really realize that high schools were in a position where name, image, and likeness is something that could, you know, potentially put money in the pocket of high school athletes. And so, you know, just the awareness of that. What else, though, Jimmy? You said something else is going on there. Bring it up, man. Let us know.
Yeah, there are five amendments that are being proposed at the annual meeting. And I know everybody's really tuned into the NIL thing. Here's the thing, though. Just about every state has it. Wisconsin's one of the very last to adopt it. So if for whatever reason it doesn't get voted in this year, the WIAA has already entered into an NIL agreement with a collective. And I would think that at this point that it's just going to happen. I mean, everything is pointing towards it happening. When I was at the Wisconsin Football Coaches Association clinic 2 weeks ago, the general impression I got was that this will easily pass. This wasn't the thing that was most talked about. What the football coaches talked about in their business meeting this year, and what I've been hearing a lot about, is the amendment on summer coaching contact. Now, let me just, I'm going to try to do this in a minute or less to explain it. Summer coaching contact is where if you're a coach of a sport, you have access to a student athlete during the summer between June 1st and July 30th. In some states, it's 10 days. Some states, 15 days. Some states, there's no restrictions. In Wisconsin, it's 5 days. And that, in a coaching contact day, doesn't mean an organized practice or anything like that. Coaching contact, it could be as simple as telling a kid, hey, you know, I seen you kicking a field goal. No, you actually got to walk like this to go to it. That's a coaching contact day if you do that. Even just something as simple as that, if you're a coach in a sport and you instruct a kid on how to shoot a free throw or swing a bat in the summer out of season, that constitutes a coaching contact day. So the amendment would change it in Wisconsin that there would be no limit on days except that between June 1st and June 30th, and then between July 8th and July 31st. So there's a week for July 4th that they block off as a dead week. But the whole summer, you could, in theory, have a coaching contact day every day outside of that week in July. And for football, there's a 7-day rule that there's a dead week 7 days before the start of the first day of practice, which is typically the first Tuesday in August. So there's a few days at the end of July that football can't do this either. Coaching contact days, I have to be, everything else stays the same. With coaching contact days, they have to be voluntary. They can never be mandatory. The coaching contact days can use school resources, things like that. But the biggest change, obviously, is going from having just 5 days, five total days, to now you could have it as many days as you want between June 1st and July 31st, except, as I mentioned, the two dead weeks, the one for every sport, July 1st through the 7th, and then the football one for a week before the first day of practice. And the conflict in this comes up because there are, not only do we have actual sports seasons that extend into June with track, softball, baseball, and soccer. I think golf typically wraps before June. Some years it wraps in May, but I think this year they play the first weekend in June. Regardless, the spring sports go into June. But there's also conflicts with things like the summer, you know, summer rec leagues, travel ball, club ball, you know, all the various sports that happen in the summer. And there's a lot of concern that this is going to put pressure on those programs that the students are going to be asked to go to the coaching contact days if they organize a practice. That the, you know, it can't be mandated, but you know what that means in a high school sport in that culture. You know, it's you miss it, you're missing out kind of thing. And also from the school side, where a lot of coaches at the clinic, when they did the straw poll, it was about 50-50. And the people that spoke against this rule were just concerned that it would put additional pressure on coaches to just be available all summer. So now you're impacting vacations. You're impacting that family time. Coaches are typically teachers, or in my case, a volunteer, you know, and have kids in the school. And there's life that happens away from it. But all of a sudden, now you're taking summers away because you have to have coaching contact days. So there's a lot of pressure both ways kind of on this, whether it's the student athlete or whether it's the coaches. I know, and it's anecdotal, in our case we're just looking at this as, well, after a weight room we can tell a kid, hey, here's how you long snap a football, or here's how you shoot a free throw, like pretty simple stuff, right? Then we have to worry about having the 1 of 5 days used up. But I there are a lot of concerns both ways, and I really see this being probably the most, I don't want to say controversial, it's not the right word, but this will probably be the most hotly debated of the 5 amendments that go up this year at the annual meeting.
I got to say, yeah, this is one of those. I remember, Johnny, maybe you do too. You know, high school, and it was football most of the time that was the big issue, was just like, yeah, in the summer, as you pointed out, you know, we'd be weightlifting, you know, and the football coaches would be in the weight room and then potentially say, hey, over in the gym, you might find some footballs over there. Johnny, have I, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. I do. And I like this because it's been a gray area for too long. And, you know, anytime you can kind of figure out how to help students have an off, like young people have an off season, you know, coaches put things into perspective, because, you know, that technically that off season is important for them to, you know, to rest, to rejuvenate, to grow, to participate in summer activities and other sports, and families plan vacations and things like that. So I think this is a great thing. It's, you know, it's a great thing to figure out.
Yeah.
Yeah. For sure. And of the five, I think, like I said, the 5 amendments, it's probably the one that's going to get, I think, the most careful consideration by administrators, especially athletic directors, because in Wisconsin, violations of the contact day rule is up to the school athletic director and administration. You have to self-report these things. There's no officer from the WIAA checking your weight rooms every morning across the state of Wisconsin or anything. So this also eliminates some administrative work, which is why I think, and why the straw polling, even though the coaches were sort of split, the general consensus is that the administrators support this and that it'll probably go through, even though it won't be a slam dunk vote. They expect it to go through. Just quickly, the other amendments that go through, and I'll do this very quickly because not all these apply to everything. One of that would affect fans is that if you're ejected from a game, in addition to being suspended for one game, you have to take a course on sportsmanship through the NFHS before you can go to another game for that school, which is just another way of trying to corral fan behavior. That had unanimous support all the way through. Great idea, right? I mean, you got to curb it somehow. So that's one of the other proposals. Another one just tries to match up freshman teams with JV teams in terms of season length. You know, that's not going to get a whole lot of attention. And then there's a petition to include cross country in the group of sports that don't have to be subjected to the performance factor, which moves schools up based on performance at state meets cross country. And I can speak to this right from our district here in Boscobel. Our girls cross country team never won the sectional, never won the state meet, but still got elevated because they made the state meet a couple of years in a row. And all of a sudden, Boscobel, a Division III school, is competing against schools with 5 times its enrollment in cross country meets in the playoffs. So cross country was advanced to the meeting as well for that part of it. So those are the 5. And like I said, NIL and summer contact are definitely the two highlights of what's going to happen at this annual meeting.
Man, it's a lot. Holy cow. Who knew there was so much going on? Jimmy, which is why we love having you come on to Busted Pencils to give us those, you know, the updates and all of that. So people are aware of, you know, what's happening. Coming back to the summer one too, just make mention, you brought up a point that I think is really valuable. And that is, you know, everybody's thinking about the players getting unfair, you know, maybe opportunities, or even as Johnny pointed out, hey, what about students who actually want to go on summer vacation, but feel kind of the pressure to show up for summer, you know, those summer days. But the coaches themselves too, who say like, I want a break. And even them then potentially feeling the pressure to say, well, I guess I can't take my family vacation because I got to offer some type of summer coaching. So yeah, Johnny, you know, I'm just thinking about this. I think this is good for everybody here because, you know, as we say, guess what? Coaches also need some downtime and need some time to breathe. I know, Johnny, you got to be thinking that after the hockey season, man, I need a little bit of time to take a breather.
You'd think so, Tim, but we kind of, you know, as coaches kind of go full bore year round, but we do kind of, like I said, it's important to have some kind of downtime, some transition to, you know, I'm sure families out there appreciate when, you know, coaches are throttled a little bit on what we can do in the off season, because we do know our players need that time to, you know, regenerate energy, to focus things, to spend time with families. You know, to do those other sports too that are really important to youth development, you know, to get out and golf for us hockey players, like say, hey, go play tennis, go golf, go do something for a few months, and you know, and put some regulations on it. But, you know, if we had if you just left it up to us coaches, you know, you'd probably have a season year round.
oh, my goodness. Well, Coach Koska, Jimmy K, Civic Zone, thanks for busting pencils with us again, my friend.
Well, I appreciate it, and I'm with you. The break is much needed. The anecdote here is that the dead week of football, there's always a long-running Twitter thread every year with football coaches that dead week, where are you at, and how are you spending the dead week of practice? And there's people in Florida and Texas and California just getting out, going fishing up in International Falls. It's always a fun thread every year.
Yes. Nice. And now for your moment of zen. Patriotism doesn't mean support of government. Patriotism means support of the principles it's supposed to stand for.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Busted Pencils, Hurdles and Home Runs with Civic Media's own Jimmy K. So remember to grab more Busted Pencils podcasts packed full of fully leaded education talk on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and of course on the Civic Media website, or you can catch us at bustedpencils.com. Hey, don't be late for homeroom on Monday, and be sure to grab next week's class and session on Wednesday. And if you can, join us on Saturdays. That's right, Busted Pencils broadcast at 3 p.m. Central Time every Saturday across the Civic Media Network stations for an hour of your favorite blue-collar scholars, Tim and Johnny, and keep busting pencils.